cute starting. I guess, like I told you before, the government, that's all they, you know, the BIA, they thought that's all we could do is work as secretaries or stenographers, certain type of thing. So they had a big, what they call a business course there at the high school. Well, after you got out of high school, you just went in there, took a business course, and you were ready for a job. It's the way they figured it all out. I don't know. I never could think of working in an office. You know, I get so bored, you know, being, you know. So I took it just, you know, for my own personal reasons, I guess. These girls were all going up there. The BIA had worked up there in Chicago, you know, in their government offices. So that's where we went. Well, we figured there were four of us, you know, we could get a place together.
Were you all friends before then?
We were all going to school. And we thought, well, we could save by splitting the rent and going in on the groceries together and all this sort of stuff. So we went up there, but we didn't stay too long. It didn't work out the way we had intended it to, because first, one girl, her boyfriend went into the Air Corps, and he went down to Florida. Well, they were writing letters back and forth, and he wanted her to come down there, and they were going to get married. So, of course, she was all excited. We didn't really want her to go, you know, but we were kind of happy for her. So, she left us, so that left three of us. Well, then one of the other girls, she had a sister-in-law out here. So she was writing to her. Well, she told her there were plenty of jobs out here, making good money and all that. So Esther, she says, why don't we go out there? I think we'd have more fun, you know. And so we all talked it over, and we said, well, we'll go out there. So they were all from Oklahoma, you know, so they decided to go home and visit their parents before they came out here. So I told them, I said, well, I'll go home and visit my parents, and I'll meet you guys out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, out there is where? Here?
Yeah, California.
You're in California.
What year? I have never been in California. 1940, it was the summer of 42. And see, that was when I went. I got as far as Minneapolis, coming from Chicago, coming to South Dakota. And I met another girl that she told me about this deal about getting a free hotel room and all that. And I ended up with the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps. Well, I went home to visit my parents, but they only gave me 2 weeks, you know, and I had to report to camp.
So you had gotten involved in the Army in Chicago?
No, in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis.
Minnesota.
Okay, when you saw your friend and when you met the woman in Minneapolis, how did that happen?
Well, she was another girl. She was a Chippewa Indian girl. That she had gone to school down there. So we all went to school at Lawrence, Kansas. It was one of these government schools. It was called Haskell Institute. And more or less, all the Indian kids that I knew at that time were products of that school. That's where we all met and got to know one another. Well, they were all different tribes because they came from all over, even from Alaska. We had students there from Alaska. That's how we all got to know one another, and of course we made friends, and some other kids got married. I had a girlfriend and got married. I still, to this day, she and her husband, they were both in my class. We all graduated together. Mm-hmm. And I see them all the time. They're teachers up at one of the BIA schools in Carson City. So.
So all these people had come together in Chicago, and then
we all sort of gone separate ways, and we were going to meet out here again, but it didn't work out that way. They came out here. And it was so funny because they used to they'd write to me and tell me what I was missing. Hollywood movie star. Which wasn't even true. They thought, you know, because I was telling them all the fun I was having, you know, seeing the country, and I said, I'm government expenses. It wasn't costing me anything.
So what happened in Minneapolis then? How did you get involved in this?
Well, I met this girl. I don't know, she had come down from the Red Lake Indian Reservation there. And I ran into her, and of course, you know, we got to talking and everything, and she asked me if I was going to, you know, be around there, and I told her, well, I planned to stay maybe a couple of nights, you know, I wanted to do some shopping and everything. So she told me, she said, well, she said, do you have a place to stay? And that's when I said, no, I said, I have to get a hotel room. She says, well, why don't you come down to where I'm staying? It wouldn't cost you anything. So I didn't ask her. I went down there with her. That's so stupid, you know. And I thought, you know, I was just thinking, you know, well, wherever it is, you know, I'm going to save some money, you know. And sure enough, we walked in there, and this lady was sitting there, and she told her, you know, she said, well, this girl wants to sign up, you know. And she said, okay. And she said, well, what does this sign you to? She said, you can room in with her. She said, there's an extra bed in her room. And she told me when the meals were going to be served at time and all that. I come to find out we were all there taking all these exams to get into this women's, it was called auxiliary corps then. And I didn't think I was going to pass, that's why I didn't care about that. Oh, well, you know, they could say I tried, you know, but she told me if we were rejected, they would still pay our way back to our hometown, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, gee, I'm going to change their fate.
That didn't,
but then it didn't work out like that. I was, but I found out that when I got myself into, I thought, oh my God, this was something I couldn't get out of, you know.
Well, so it was like an induction center?
Yeah, we went to, they have a big military base there. I don't know if they still have it now, but it's called Fort Snelling.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Indian boys from my reservation that volunteered to go into service when, in 1941 at Pearl Harbor, you know, they all went up there. Everybody used to say, well, you know, so-and-so is going to Fort Snelling, you know, to take his exam.
Hmm.
So that's where we went, you know. Well, we stayed in town, but they took us off there in a big old these trucks, you know, the next day. And
after you'd found out that you'd gotten involved in the Army.
Yeah, and they give us our physical exams down there.
Well, was it was the WACS, or was it the Nurses Corps?
No, it was the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps at the time. Mm-hmm. Then it was changed after 1943, the summer of 43, it became the Women's Army Corps. Mm-hmm. It was made part of the regular army is what it was. But mm-hmm. when I joined, it was just an auxiliary. And I don't know, we weren't under the same regulations as the Army at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we weren't entitled to no benefits or anything like that.
So it was like a volunteer kind of?
Something like that, you know, because everybody volunteered. Well, Women's Army Corps at the time, too, everybody volunteered.
Mm-hmm. But it was.
But their standards were high at the time. You had to have at least a high school diploma. And, they had a lot of things that you had to really. And I know I was talking to one of the girls, she joined the WAVES, you know, in Kansas City there, and she told me what they put her through, you know, just to get in, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you just had to take tests?
Yeah, we took a lot of written tests, and then we took some oral exams that they interviewed us and everything, and then we had to go through this whole process, just like the men, you know, mm-hmm. Physical exams.
So in Minneapolis at the fort, you took your physical exam.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, how long did you stay at the fort?
We were out there one whole day, and then the next day we were back out there at some building, I don't know where it was, but there we took all these written tests and all paperwork was done there. And that's where they came back when they said we passed and we were sworn in.
He was sworn into the Army.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, where did you go with him from there? What happened after that?
Oh, I went home and I stayed with my parents for about 2 weeks and got everything straightened out. But it was like I was, I guess to my mother, I was like I was dead because I was giving away all my clothes, you know. I said, oh, I'm not going to need this anymore. And everybody was, you know, asking me, what are you going to do with this, you know? And my mother just totally packed everything and she said, leave it here. But I thought, well, which was true because I didn't really go back after I got service, you know. Things changed so much. And so a lot of my cousins and them came up there. So I'd give them whatever they wanted, you know, my shoes and my purses and whatever I had.
How did your parents feel about you being in the Army?
Oh, they didn't like it. My father, because I had two brothers that went into a service, and he says, giving up my two boys is enough. He said, I was going in, he says, well, but everybody back there was so excited because I was one of the first Indian girls that went in, you know, and they thought, gee, that was something, you know. But what I didn't tell my father at the time was that I had signed up for overseas duty, you know, because they give you a choice.
Oh, right at the airport in Minneapolis you had signed up for overseas.
Yeah. I didn't think I would go, though, because, you know, they said only if you were needed. And what I didn't realize was that the medical corps was what was needed, you know. It never dawned on me, so, you know, I'm just signing things to my father.
So you had signed up for the medical corps and overseas?
Well, training? I didn't actually sign up for medical corps. It was sort of a thing that I was pushed into because, you know, they ask you, you know, what kind of work experience have you had? Or what kind of education have you had? Well, actually, I never really worked at any kind of a job, you know, real world. You know, here and there with this and that, you know. But mainly, a lot of my experience had to do with government hospitals. And I never had any nurses training outside of maybe first aid or whatever, you know. But the government hospitals that are on these reservations at the time, well, they still are, anyway, isolated. Nobody wants to work in this place. And so they have a hard time, you know, nurses and doctors, you know. They really need, you know. So if anybody wants to work in there, the Indian girls, you know, that would like to work in there, they give you a job. So a couple of summers, I didn't have nothing else to do, and I thought, you know, I'd make money, so they took me in just like that, you know. So what I learned about nursing was really just the experience of a job.
Why had you decided to sign up for overseas duty? What made you?
No, it was just something, you know, you look at an application, and I was just 21 years old, and I thought to myself, you know, all this, you know, I thought the world was just, you know, you could just do anything you wanted to and never think about what was ahead, you know. So I thought, oh, this might be fun for us, you know. Then actually I thought, oh, they'll never send me, you know, I'm not that smart or I can't do that much, you know. And because it said that the only ones that had possibility of going was somebody who had really some technical job or something that was really needed to replace soldiers, you know. And I thought, well, I don't know anything, so, you know. So I get in there.
So you went home, saw your parents and told them, and they were upset. And then after you were at home, where did you have to go there?
Oh, I had to go to Fort Devens, Massachusetts for induction period or something like that.
Like basic training?
Well, not exactly. It was more or less they talked to you and to see what you were qualified for because they have different schools that they send you to. And like they send you to radio school or something like that. Well, they give you a chance, you know, which is, I don't know, like a lot of the soldiers that used to go in and say, oh, you know, that's a bunch of lies, you know, they tell you. You've got a chance to go to the school and be, you know. But I guess this was in wartime. They didn't really go according to that. They put you where you need it. So I thought, oh, you know, I thought radio school, I'd be interested in that. So I signed up for that. Well, they told me that there were only two schools for the women. And one was in Rapid City, South Dakota. And I thought, oh, I'll be close to home. Yeah. So I was all excited about it. So I waited, you know, for that after, you know, because at the time she told me that, well, the school is full right now. As soon as there's a vacancy, she said, we'll put you down on a list. And she said, we'll notify you. So in the meantime, she said, we'll have to place you somewhere else. But we had to go through basic training. So we were shipped down to Camp Campbell, Kentucky. And when we got down there, I don't know what happened, but it seemed like they didn't want us or something. So we were there 2 nights and 2 days.
Now, when you say we, who were you with?
Oh, it was like they assigned us to a battalion.
Oh, did you know
and the whole? No, they were all from Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. There was even one girl from New York, but we were all put into this, they called it a regiment. And from then on, wherever we went, the whole group went. So we were down there, and they said, well, they were going to ship us out again. So, you know, nobody paid much attention. And it seemed like we always traveled at night, so this one night we had to get on this train. We had no idea where we were going. They told us to go to bed, so we all went to bed. So that next evening, real late in the evening, we arrived in Fort Des Moines, Iowa. And they took us out because the fort itself is about 9 miles out of town. So we went out there, and I thought, if I have to spend the next 8 weeks here, I'm going to die because everything's that dreary.
Oh, yeah.
But that evening, they told us that we were going to be stationed at the Drake University, which was in town, in the city of Fort Des Moines. So we went up there, our whole battalion or regiment, we got up there. So we got to stay at the university, you know, the government had taken it over. So part of it was used for the men and the other part was for the women. So we got to have this dormitory with all, they had a cafeteria in the basement and everything. And we slept in the dormitory, so, you know, we did our drilling and everything out on the field, you know.
What was the training like? Were you?
It was just like they give them, man, calisthenics in the morning, you know.
Was it any combat training?
Not actually. See, not until they'll assign you to overseas training. And they really didn't teach us that, you know, about farming and gunning. But mainly it was like survival. Like we have to learn to jump off of a ship, you know, that was sinking, you know. And they put oil on the water so instead of the fire. And see, we had to learn to swim underneath it. And if we didn't have a life jacket, they told us that we could take our barracks bag and empty it, and you swing it around to get some air in it, and it'll hold you up for maybe 10 minutes.
That'll do you a lot.
Well, these are the things that they had to improvise a lot of things, and just, you know. And so we didn't get any kind of training like that, but the basic training was just mainly, that's about the same thing that the men get. And we had stayed there for a while, you know, and then because I don't know, we weren't part of the regular army yet, you know. More or less, I don't know what we were doing. It just seemed like we were kind of
limbo. Were there any other Indian women with you?
Just the one I, you know.
The one in Minneapolis.
She and I were together all through until we got to, after we got out of Greek university there, she went into another kind of training. And that's where I got to. See, I was, they kept asking me, you know, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I signed up for radio school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still waiting. And they said, well, that's going to take a little while. So I said, oh, I'll wait for that, you know. So in the meantime, he said, you have to have something else. Would you be interested in doing this, doing that? And I would tell them, no, I didn't want to. Well, they wanted me to go work in the office, and I tried it out for a while, but I got bored with it. All they had me doing was changing addresses, mm-hmm. you know. You, these people that come through, you know, it's like, oh. And you had to change the address of where they were sent out to and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I got so tired of that, so I just told them I didn't really like the office work. And if there was something else I could do. So all of a sudden now, the CEO called me in and she says, from your record, she says, I see you've had a lot of experience working in the hospitals. She said, you must have had some medical training. And I said, no, I said, I've worked in hospitals and that's it. And she said, would you be interested in going to medical school? I said, not really. But she didn't take no for an answer. She just mm-hmm. told me, well, we have some openings. And she said, I've assigned you to.
Oh.
So I went and I told Angie, you know, because she and I were always together. And I said, oh, we're going to be separated. I said, I'm going to be shut up. And I don't know what to do. I said, I don't want to go. But she said, well, that's okay. That's okay. She said, maybe I can work it. So I could come too. She said, I said, okay. So she went and signed up for medical school. They didn't take her.
Oh, no.
And I don't know. From there, I was just kind of sent here and there.
Well, where did you, why? Where did they send you right away?
Well, they sent me to them, to the hospital out there in Fort Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And I had help out there in the hospital. And then from there, I was sent to, oh, that was so funny because I was there for quite a while, and I was getting all tired, you know. This is all I'm going to spend the whole time, you know. And about that time, see, the whole year had gone by, and that's when it was in July when we heard that we became part of the regular army.
Now, is this July of 43?
40. See, I went in 42, mm-hmm. and then 43 was when mm-hmm. it was made part of the regular army. And I remember we ran back to our barracks and they said we could use, you know, free mail. You know, we didn't have to put a stamp on. And we sat down and wrote to everybody we could think of.
what kind of career were you getting at this point? Like before
that? We got into, before that it was just the regular $50 a month. But after we were made part of the regular army, see, we started getting promotions like, you know, just like the soldiers.
Mm-hmm. What rank did you have by that time?
I was only a PSC,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't really have any kind of training uh-huh. at all, as that really uh-huh. put it. And so that's when they started shipping us out all over, when we became part of the regular army.
Mm-hmm.
And up until then, see, we stayed mainly in Fort Des Moines and Fort Oglethorpe and Fort Devens, Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
and Campbell, Kentucky.
Did you go up in rank and pay when it became part of the regular army?
Mm-hmm.
What rank did you hold then?
Well, I went up to a technician 4th grade, which is like a sergeant,
uh-huh.
but they call it P4.
And what kind of salary were you getting?
I'd see about $75 or something. That wasn't much. Well, you get there once.
Did that include your
at the board?
You know, yeah.
You know, all your medical expenses
mm-hmm.
and all that. But they're paying a lot more now. I think I'll go back in. But, well, in those days, let me tell you, $50 was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It could buy a lot of things.
So But was it, did you talk to any men that were also involved in the same kind of thing you were, and were they getting more?
No, the men were getting the same thing.
They were getting the same
thing. The soldiers are getting $50 a month. The only difference the soldiers had was that the government allowed them to send an allotment check home, which we never got.
Oh.
Like if they had a wife or children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody was telling my mom, you know, that, oh, you know, you're going to get another allotment check, you know. She said, no, she said, they don't give that. But we had the same, the insurance, we were entitled to put in some insurance and all that.
Mm-hmm. So when you became part of the regular army, then what happened? Where did you go?
Well, from there I was sent to Fort Bliss, Texas. And that was a, to this day I don't like Texas. It was the most miserable. We were right out there, out of Fort Bliss, you know, just like, for miles and miles, all we could see was white sand. And it was like in August. And hot.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of times we came into town, and I didn't like the town of El Paso at all. It was just, I was just lost.
What didn't you like that?
Just the whole atmosphere. And I don't know. I just felt like I didn't belong there, you know, that I should be somewhere else.
Do you think you felt that way because you were in the service or because you were a Native American woman?
Now that I think about it, I don't think any of that had to do. It was just my personal self. I just didn't like the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't happy there, you know. I thought, it, you know, there are better places that I could be, you know. The idea that I had to stay there, I was sent there, and I couldn't leave, you know,
mm-hmm.
That made it worse, I guess. But I was there, and then the next place I got sent was up here at Fort Mason, San Francisco.
Mm.
And
were you still doing the same kind of work?
They had the Letterman General Hospital. It used to be an Army hospital.
What were you doing in the hospital?
Oh, just anything that
like
I could
nursing?
Do. Nursing, yeah. Just, and it was almost like the government hospitals. They do about the same thing as compared to a private hospital. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like now at the hospitals, you know, they have nurses for everything. You do just what, you know, you're qualified to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, I don't know, it didn't seem to make any difference whether I had a degree or not, you know. I was asked to do this and do that, you know. And I don't know, it was kind of interesting because all of people that came in there were service, you know, men, and mainly a lot of them that were coming back from overseas.
Had been wounded overseas.
And so it was a little bit more interesting there. I went home for a furlough that time because my mother was sick. And when I came back, they told me that this group that I was with had been sent down to Santa Anita, and I thought, Santa Anita, where is that? I didn't know anything about California.
Mm-hmm.
So they told me, well, you know, you have to go down there. So they gave me my traveling papers. So I got on a train and came down to Los Angeles. And they told me, when you get to the station, there'll be a little shuttle bus there to pick you up. So I got out at the Union Station. Oh, I thought that place was huge. And it was just packed with people, you know. And I never saw so many servicemen all my life. Sailors, Marines, and soldiers. And I'm walking around in there like, I didn't know what to
do. You had a uniform, though, too.
Yeah. And the MPs would look at me, you know, and a couple of them would stop, you know, and they'd say, may I see your ID, you know, and at the same time, they'd be kind of laughing, you know, And this one told me, he says, he doesn't want to see your ID, he just wants to see and find out your address. And so finally I asked one of them, you know, if there was a little shuttle bus that he knew of that goes to Santa Anita. And he said, oh, he said, you go out to that door, and he said, you'll see it out there. So I went out there and I didn't see it, you know. And so somebody told me, you know, if you miss that shuttle bus, go to the Pacific Electric Train Depot, and there's a red car that runs out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I want to wait around here. So I told this one MP, I said, how far is it to the Pacific Electric Train? And he says, oh, about 10 blocks. He said, you go up there, and he said, it's Main Street. He said, then you go that way. And he said, you can't miss it. It's right down the corner, 6th and Main. He said, so I thought, you know, I can walk it, you know. So I started out. What I didn't know is I was going to have to walk through what they call Skid Row down in Los Angeles. And I'm walking along, oh, you know. And I thought, gee, I'm in Los Angeles. You know, I heard so much about Los Angeles. I look, I see all those winos, you know, these bars, all, you know. Well, I used to know this guy. He used to call, he was from Arkansas, I think. He used to talk about the honky tonks, you know. So this is what a honky tonk is. And I'm walking along there, and I thought, this is Los Angeles, you know. That was my impression of Los Angeles, what I was saying.
A little different than what you'd anticipated, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't see no movie stars, no glamour. It was kind of disappointing, but I got out to, I come to find out, I never knew that Santa Anita was a racetrack. Until one of my kids told me one day. And I said, he was talking about, you know, he and his friend, they went to the racetrack. I said, what racetrack? He said, Santa Anita. He said, it's a big racetrack. Santa Anita? Where is it? And he said, near Arcadia. I said, it can't be. I said, you know, I was stationed there during the war. And he said, you were? He said, well, there's no army camp there. I said, well, there was when I was.
Now they've switched it.
Yeah, it was funny. But they had these prefabricated these points and huts, you know,
oh, nice.
All over the.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they didn't have racism. They cut all that off, you know, during wartime.
Mm-hmm.
So we came down there. We had to go to school. And that's where they start teaching us all kinds of different things that we have to know.
Like what kind of things?
Oh, it was like, they call it overseas training.
Oh, this is where you went to overseas training.
And that's when they took us down to, down here to Wilmington. And they took us out into the ocean for and right then and there, it was like kind of exciting, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I had never been on a big ship, you know, and I thought, oh, this is, you know, fun. But I didn't realize what it's going to be like.
What kind of things did you have to do?
Oh, like we had to learn, but they were always having drills, you know. And they said, well, we're out there somewhere, and they attacked a ship or something, what we were supposed to do. And like being nurses, we were supposed to know how to tend to the wounded and stuff, you know, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we had to improvise, we didn't have a medical facility and stuff like that. But we had to work really hard. And that was funny because we were out there one day, and all these sailors were on the ship watching, you know. And see, my husband was a sailor, and he never told me this till after the kids were, you know, pretty big. And he told one of my sons. I said, I didn't know that. I said, you never told me that. And he just laughed. When he was telling them, he said, he was on the ship. He said, all the guys were all excited because they said that day they were bringing those wax in there. He said, they were going to train them to jump off the ship and swim. So he said, I wasn't interested. He said, so he was busy doing something. He said, until I heard the sailors, you know, he said, they were all yelling, you know. Here comes that little Indian girl, you know. And so he says, I had never met an Indian girl. He says, I wanted to see what she looked like. And he says, I went out there. And he said, there was your mother. But the way he told it, it was really funny, you know.
So this is where you met him.
No, I didn't meet him then.
Oh, but he happened to be on the same ship.
Yeah, he remembered me. Yeah. So anyway, we went through all this, and then finally one night they brought us down here to Wilmington. They had a base down here, Camp Ross, where they had Italian prisoners there.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for a couple of weeks.
Were you working in the hospital there?
No, we were just sort of waiting, you know. They would take you here, and then you have to wait, you know.
What were you
for orders?
Oh,
and nobody knows what they're going to be or where they're going to be. Everything was just kept secret, you know. And so finally, we were getting tired, you know, because we were just sitting there. We were what they call confined to our barracks. We couldn't. It'd be nicer if they told us we could go uptown and walk around or something.
Yeah.
But we were like prisoners, you know. We couldn't go off the base or nothing, you know. So we were all getting, you know, kind of restless. And then all of a sudden, they called us out, you know, and they said, get information. So we all got out there. So the announcement came that we were all supposed to pack our barracks bags, be ready when a truck came to pick us up. So we thought, oh boy, we can go somewhere. It wasn't until about 7:30 that night, I think. And they took us down there, right off of Terminal Island, I think it was. I don't even know how we got on the board of ship. Everything is just kept hush-hush, you know, they just ain't going. We were like little robots or something, you know.
So they put you on a ship? And to go where?
We didn't know where we were
going. You just got on the ship.
Yeah, they don't tell you where you're going.
Oh.
They just say you got orders to get on this and it's gone.
Uh-huh.
And I never spent a more miserable time in all my life. To this day, I will never get on a ship. I was so seasick. And I thought I was going to die. But the worst part of it I was thinking about was, I thought, wherever I'm going, you know, I'm going to have to go through this again coming back. And I'm not going to do it, but then I thought, well, how am I going to get home, you know?
You'll have to go there.
But I was lucky that when we came home, they brought us back on a plane.
Mm-hmm. So where did you end up then?
Oh, after sailing, we got to Hawaii, but they didn't let us go ashore. We had to stay on the ship, and then from there I guess they took on supplies or whatever. I don't know. So we finally ended up in New Caledonia, and it was like a medical base there,
mm-hmm.
And that's where we were assigned. But we worked right with they had what they call the army nurses, and most of them were like captains and lieutenants. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was, I can't exactly figure out. You're in the medical corps, but it's not the
army nurses. Because most of the army nurses are officers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
But the
lower
lieutenant. So we were just more or less like, I guess like. You would say nurses' aides or something,
uh-huh.
Working in the hospital.
Because
we did most of the dirty work too, like cleaning wounds and stuff like that. You
mm-hmm.
know. And sometimes we were there for hours and we didn't get any time off. You know.
I have to hear about your experiences. there in New Caledonia, you know, as much as you can remember about it?
Well, I don't know. I've never really talked about it because I sort of blotted it out when I got back because it was horrible. The things that I saw, and I realized then that war was horrible, you know. And about the time that I was there too, as my oldest brother got killed. And see, I didn't mm-hmm. get. There was no way I could make it back for his funeral. And I don't know. At the time, I think I just thought, you know, it didn't matter anymore. It seemed like, you know, I thought people are just killing each other, and you know what the heck, you know what's ahead. I didn't have no plans of ever returning, and then I thought if I did go back, you know, and go back to my reservation, you know, I knew things were going to be changed. So I just did what I was supposed to do, and that was about it. And I don't know, it's the soldiers that we had to administer to, a lot of them are really in a bad shape. And mainly my job was getting them ready to transport them, you know.
Back to the States?
Mm-hmm.
Or to Hawaii,
and I had to take care of the paperwork, you know, that wherever they were going to be sent.
Mm-hmm.
They were either sent to San Francisco Letterman or down here it was, what was the name of that hospital? Tornin General. It was in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to make sure that these papers are all filled out and they were with them when they left, when they were put aboard the ship or
mm-hmm.
the airplane or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, what year is this? It's still 1943.
That's 1940, the summer of 43.
That's still the summer of 43.
No, that's when we got into it. This was around about the November.
November.
Mm-hmm.
November.
Because within that, after we were made into a regular army, too, you know. Like things just moved.
Yeah, everything
fast.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Were you did you go up in rank when you went overseas to New Caledonia today?
Well, I went as a corporal by that time. And see, when I came back I was a T4 and that was a sergeant's rank.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as I got because like a sergeant, you know, master sergeant is the one that handles like papers and he drills the men and all that, you know. But they called us technicians, fourth grade, but we had the same rank as a sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
But we were more or less, you know, doing different things that came
mm-hmm.
under that category.
Mm-hmm.
But if they asked us to take over a company or something, we'd have to do it, but I never had that chance. Only once I think I had a call out. I used to worry about it because I never had a very loud voice, you know. I was kind of soft, you know. I hear some of these women, oh, they could really yell, you know. And I thought, I could never do that, you know. It's like you say you're shy, you know. God, it's they ask you to do something. But, I don't know, we were there for, but the thing about it was that they didn't keep us there too long because they used to talk about what they call battle fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think we women were as strong as the men. And seeing all this, you know, they thought that it might kind of make us go haywire.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this ruling that they would revolve.
Mm-hmm.
So the group that went over there, you know, had to come back